This is probably some of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'm like you, brother. I like to challenge myself with the book, and I like reading the book, and these verses challenge my heart. And very familiar that she played it in the offering. One of my favorite songs, talking about that as a deer painted for the water. And I'll tell you something, it's real, amen. And notice this in verse number 1, don't let familiarity rob you of a blessing tonight. But the Bible says, as a hart painteth after the water brooks, so painteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You can be seated tonight. And y'all help me tonight, and we'll try to mind the Lord in this psalm. And I love this psalm, very interesting psalm. I love the life of David. David is one of my heroes in the Bible. And there's a lot of things that's very intriguing about David's life. And young folks, I want to say this. One of the major things that really encourages me about David is David had the touch of God on his life even as a young man. And when you study David, I've got another message, and I probably won't preach it tonight, but just throw in a few things with this. When you study David's life, you find out that there's a lot of things about David. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel that David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And I preach a message on before 30, what David was doing before the age of 30. And young folks, you'd be amazed at what David was doing in his life, even in his teenage years, in his 20s, and what God was doing in his life. And notice this, I was reading about this psalm and just studying, and I wrote this down, and it said, although David is not mentioned as the author of this psalm, it must be the offspring of his pen. It is so Davianic, it smells of the son of Jesse. It bears the marks of his style and experience in every letter. Mr. E.M. Bounds said this about some of the writings of David and some of the Psalms. He believed, and there's some difference of opinions about Psalms 23, whether he was an old man or whether he was a young man when he wrote that Psalm. But I was reading Mr. E.M. Bounds, and he believed that David wrote Psalms 19, Psalms 8, and Psalms 28, even in the shepherd boy stage of his life. And I'm going to say if that is true, when you look at those Psalms, and we say that David was 17 years old when he fought Goliath, and the shepherd boy stage was even before that, I'm going to say when you read some of those lines, how profound it was, the touch of God that David had in his life. The meditations upon his mind, even as a shepherd boy on the backside of the desert, nobody around, just him and God. I'm going to say character, real character, is what you are when you're by yourself. That is real character. Preacher said it tonight, it is easy. It is easy to come in here and perform tonight. It's easy to put on church tonight, come in here and act like everything's all right, sing in the choir. Man, there might have been some standing here. You're as far from God as you've ever been. There's no touch. There's no reality. I would say some of you are so far from God, you wouldn't even get up here and sing tonight. Wouldn't even involve yourself in the things of God. I would say we need to look at this tonight and see something out of this psalm. Notice this in this psalm tonight. I think about this psalm often. And when you study this psalm, you find out that there are 9 questions asked in this psalm. David asked 9 questions. Notice this, the very first question that David asked, and what I want to preach on tonight, David said in verse number 2, when shall I come and appear before God? Question number 1. What was David talking about when he asked that question? Was David talking about when he died and went to heaven and seen God? Was David referring to it in prophecy as far as the rapture of the church is concerned? Was David talking about the millennial reign? Was David talking about in death? What was David talking about when he asked this question? Notice this in this psalm. He said, when shall I come and appear before God? Notice that. Question number 2 is in verse number 3. And notice this, the wicked crowd say to David, Where is thy God? Where is thy God? Let me ask you something this evening. They were questioning David. Evidently, he had been in a situation where he was not around the presence of God. Notice this also tonight. I want to read several things to you and just try to lay a good foundation for this. But notice this right here. Let me read this to you. I wrote this down about this psalm. The subject of this psalm. It is a cry of a man far removed from the outward ordinances and worship of God. How long has it been since you really worshiped this morning? Seeming. Notice this. Sighing for the long-loved house of God. And at the same time, it is the voice of a spiritual believer under depressions, longing for the renewal of a divine presence, struggling with doubts and fears, but yet holding his ground by faith in the living God. You would be surprised tonight at the crowd of this church sitting here with probably, and preacher, God knows my heart. Preacher, you'll never know. You're our hero. That man sitting right there is my hero. And I'm not saying that politically to get another time preaching in here. I remember those youth meetings over there at Victory when he'd preach. We'd hang off every word. We thought, man, I want to grow up and be like that. I want to be able to preach like that one of these days. I want the touch of God in my life like that one of these days. I want to help people like he has helped me one of these days. I want that in my life. Notice this tonight. You've got a good preacher. You've got a good church here. Me and my wife said if this place is a little bit closer, we go to church here. Amen. I like coming to church where people's excited, shout a little bit, enjoy God, the presence of God. What a blessing. But you know that there are still some probably sitting here and you are hanging on by the skin of your teeth. You are heading, remember that message you preached on a spiritual disaster, preacher? Some of you are heading that direction. How long has it been since you've been in the presence of God? How long has it been since you've been there in that prayer closet where God was so real, where the touch of God and the power of God was so real? How long has it been, I said it this morning, how long has it been since you have been driving down the road, nobody around, just you and God, and you turn the windshield wipers on because you think it's raining outside, but it's on the inside? How long's it been since you've been driving down the road and just forget where you was going because you and God was having such a good time? How long's it been since you could not wait to get to the prayer closet and enjoy the presence of God and the power of God? How long's it been since you've been excited about coming to the house of God and excited about hearing the preacher? Remember when you first got saved? I love those days. I'm trying to live those days again. I want that. Remember when you first got saved, you always had a case of the can't help it. I mean, you just couldn't help it whether anybody else was or not. You're so excited. You'd hope preacher would get wound tight and go crazy. You'd hope somebody would run the aisles and shout. I remember when I thought, man, if somebody wouldn't run the aisles, hey, something bad has happened. How is it tonight? How long's it been? Remember those times in the prayer closet? Some folks tonight don't know nothing about praying with the power of God. We watched young folk this year, preacher, last year in a revival meeting. We was involved in a revival meeting, and I ain't gonna call no names, but young folks that have been raised in a Baptist, independent Baptist church, raised under the touch of God, raised around the power of God at the age of 18 years old, being around it their whole life, preacher, and we got to watch them for the first time get full of the Holy Ghost in the prayer closet. That revival broke out in the churches about like this. There's doors on the side, and on that side there was a room over there, and preacher, them young folk piled up in the side of that church building, and they got to praying. There were so many of them in there. Me and my wife crawled through the baptistry and went down into that room that way, and they were praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you know how many people know nothing about that? Only way I know how to explain it is when you get to praying and you feel like your prayers ain't going above the ceiling, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's almost like somebody takes you from first gear to overdrive, and you can feel the Holy Ghost of God praying through your life, and then it goes beyond praying, and it goes to praise, hallelujah, and it even gets beyond that, and you just get in the presence of God, and you can't even say a word, amen. Do you know how many young folk that we see nowadays that don't know nothing about the presence and power of God? Let me give you this tonight in this psalm. He asked 9 questions. David, notice this, he is questioning himself. He said in verse number 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Notice this, there's the third question in this psalm. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" Do you know what that word disquieted means? It means restless, uneasy, want of quiet. Do you know that is the complete opposite of what God gives us in that peace? Some of you, you know why you're in such torment? You know why you're in such turmoil? It seems like God has been trying to say it all day. You just need to get right with God. Somebody said the most miserable person on earth is somebody that's lost. I don't agree with that. The most miserable person on earth is somebody that's been in the presence of God. Somebody that knows about the power of God and they get out of the will of God. That's a miserable person right there. Notice this, David not only questions himself, but notice this, David even begins to question God. David said in verse number 9, "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" I don't know what stage you're in tonight. I don't know if you are in the stage of asking God what is the problem. I don't know if you even care enough about your own soul and to question where you're at and why you're in such shape that you're in tonight. It is such a burden for you to live for God. It is such a struggle for you how to even come to the house of God. You say why? You are out of the will of God. You're either lost or out of the will of God. Preacher, I would rather crawl across the desert and crawl over them cactuses than to live this Christian life without the touch of God. Y'all know that struggle and that pulling yourself along and all this and that, and you try to make it happen, you try to make it go, you try to make it happen, but it just is not happening. Do you know why some people come down to an altar and they pray and they pray and they get up and they go back the same way they were? Because you never repented. There is something you're hanging on to. There is something that you will not let go of. You've even got big plans for your life and you will not let God work in your life. Young folks, older folks, everybody here tonight, God knows what you need better than you do. God knows what you need in your life. I have got to have the presence of God in my life. Do you know, we think about being filled with the Spirit of God, and everybody's got this vague idea of it, preacher, that it's just somebody shouting and getting excited and full of the Holy Ghost. I've seen crowds stand up and do that, and it's committing adultery at the same time. That ain't the power of God. That ain't being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't know what you were looking for in being filled with the Holy Ghost, but there is joy, and there is peace, and there is temperance in those things. I don't know exactly what you're looking for, but I know that most of our church folk need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to ask this church. You ever been filled with the Holy Ghost of God? You might not act like me. And you may not shout like me. There was a preacher's wife in a revival meeting that we was just in. And she made the statement here a while back. She said, I'd never act like that. One old fella looked at me and said, Matthew, I'd get saved, but I'm afraid I'd act like you guys. I told him, I said, God may not have you act like us, but I'm telling you something, it'll come out somewhere. I'm telling you tonight, that lady said, I will never act like that. I watched that lady get so full of God, she came up out of her pew, throwed her hands up, started shouting and screaming all over that church. There ain't no telling what you'll do if you'll let God work in your life. Young folks got big plans. I want to tell you, young people here tonight, you let God work in your life, He'll give you His best. God knows more about your personality. God knows more about your actions. And He knows exactly who you need to marry. God gave me my wife sitting back here tonight. That is the only woman on earth that could have put up with my crazy high. I am the goofiest, craziest thing, and she likes it. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Amen. God knows everything about me. God worked it all out for His glory. God gave me exactly what I wanted in a young lady. God, I wanted somebody that walked around and sang at the house all the time. And thank God, God gave me that. Amen. The presence and power of God. When you look at that psalm, there's 9 questions asked. Some of them are repeated. David asked his soul again up there. He said, why art thou cast down? They say that this psalm took place during David's younger life. And if that's the truth, when you look in David, in Psalms chapter number 63, you ain't got to turn there tonight. But I read it to you, find David in another situation in his life. And some say that this is when David was fleeing from Absalom. And notice what David said. O God, Thou art my rock. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsted for Thee. David still has that thirst for God. David said, I need God when I'm young. David said, I need God when I'm old. I need God all over my life. Amen. Preacher, I'd never seen it till a few weeks ago. We was preaching that revival meeting up there at Faith Baptist Church in Rossman. And it's very rare nowadays when you see the older folk. Now, I'm not being critical, and Lord knows my heart. But very rare do you see them get moved. That pride of life is settled in. You're not going to change me. I've got my routine, and I'm going to carry on. Y'all agree with that tonight? But brother, me and my wife saw something I have never seen since I've been saved. We've seen the hand of God. Some of them older folk, I'm talking about 60s and 70s. Seen some of them skipping around like 18-year-olds skipping around. One man come up out of that church on Sunday morning. You can ask my wife. He come out of there just about skipping. He said, preach, I want to thank you. I haven't felt like this in a long time. I said, it's not me, it's God. That man was so full of God. He is so excited. He couldn't hardly stand it. Amen. Amen. It reminded me of a... And God help my mind tonight. Y'all pray for me. My mind's in 1,000 directions here. Back there, and when they were rebuilding Jerusalem, they were rebuilding that temple, preacher. And the Bible says that them ancient men and them older men said when they seen that foundation of the house of God, the Bible says they remembered the former day. They remembered the former house of God. I'm going to say some of us sitting here tonight, there was some in that meeting that was there, that was in that Turkey Creek revival, him before when Brother Percy Ray preached, and I've seen some of them ancient folk get to crying and testifying to us. Preacher, I remember when it was like this all the time. I remember when the power of God was real all the time. I like those studying those old time revivals. I lived down in the East Atoa community down in South Carolina for 3 years, and down in that community, back in the 1950s, there was such a revival took place. They baptized, I think, close to 200. They said that everybody was quitting going to work so they could come down there. They said the power of God was so strong. Said God was so real. Said the touch of God was so powerful. The moonshiners were quitting. The moonshining. Hey, folks, it's getting help from God. People were surrendering to preach. Amen. David said, my soul thirsted for God. You know what's wrong with this generation? They're not thirsty. Well, let me rephrase that. They are thirsty, but for the wrong things. They're thirsty to be popular. Young ladies, let me tell you something here this morning. You ain't got to dress like that lady called Britney Spears to get a young man. You ain't got to chop it down here, and you ain't got to pull it tight here to get somebody. I'm telling you, you'll wind up with trash. You'll wind up with a pervert. You'll wind up with trash if that's the way you're trying to get him. You get full of God. You get full of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, God will give you His best. God will give you what you need in your life. When shall I come? Let me back up to my text tonight. That second verse, he said, when shall I come and appear before God? What is he trying to say? My brother will call me tonight. Guaranteed. He'll just happen. We'll beat one of us to get to it. And he's preaching tonight up in Lexington, North Carolina. And here I am preaching over in Tennessee. What a miracle of God. Hallelujah. I like it. Amen. We used to drink together. We still do, but we got a different fountain. Amen. I like it. And we still got to have a designated driver every once in a while because it gets wild. Hallelujah. Still, I'm not lying, y'all. But David said, and my brother will call me tonight. And he'll ask me, he said, how was it today? And I'll ask him, how was it? And if it was really good, really good, you know what we'll normally say to each other? I'll say, John, son, it got on. Are y'all familiar with that statement? It got on tonight. And when you say that, there's a whole lot involved with that. You ever been in a service that you just could not explain? All you can say is, it got on. You know what I'm saying? We're in revival at Bob's Creek down there in Green River. And I mean, God blowed that thing out. I mean, the power of God showed up. I'm glad that I can talk about the old time revivals. I'm glad I can read about them. Hey, but God is doing it again. Amen. Hey, God's still God. I know our nation's in trouble. And I know the society is going completely berserk. Here it is, summertime again, and you have to walk around with blinders because every year they get more naked and ungodly and filthy. But brother, God's still God. God's still on the throne tonight. We got in that revival preacher there at Bob's Creek, and in the second week of that revival, the second Friday night, brother, I want to tell you the power of God hit so strong. When shall I come and appear before God? In the next few verses, David says, I remember. I remember. He said, I remember what it was like to go with him. Holy day. I remember. Look down there. Let me give you this before I get ahead of myself tonight. David said this. He said, verse number 4, when I remember these things, for I pour out my soul in me, for I go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. What is David talking about when he said, when shall I come and appear before God? David said, I remember. You may believe it a little bit different, but I'll tell you something. I believe he's talking about getting in the presence of God. He said, my soul thirsts for God. He said, my soul thirsted for the God of heaven. When shall I come and appear before Him again? When is it? This is my thought tonight. When is it going to get on again? When's it going to get on in your life personally again? If all you got is down here, and I'm not complaining, I like it down here. But if all you have is here at this house of God, you ain't got much of nothing. I like worshiping in public. I like it, brethren. We'll go to town tonight. I like it. I enjoy the testimonies. It excites my soul. I enjoy the shouting. I enjoy everything. Enjoy the preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. It don't just happen down here. It just don't happen down here. Hallelujah. It ain't just down here when everybody else is around. It's been other places. But David was in such distress, he started questioning his own soul. Do you ever get away from God and you start to, why am I like this? Man, why ain't things like they used to be with me and God? Do y'all remember, when we first got saved, we didn't know no better preacher. Man, we had George Jones, greatest gospel hits. I didn't know no better. Dear Lord, I did. Son, I'd shout old place, old Jones, singing, me and Jesus got our own thing going. We had Elvis Presley, how great, nobody can see how great thou art like Elvis. We thought, we didn't know no better. But buddy, I want to tell you something, the power, I don't understand it, preacher, and I'm not excusing that stuff, we didn't know a lick better. Brother, we'd shout and cry, just enjoy God. You remember that? I call it the stage of innocence. Before you even knew anything about anybody, I'm talking about all you knew was He saved you, and it was good. You remember those days? I wish I could erase some of the things that I picked up on in this. And some y'all got me now. Y'all with me? When is it going to get on again? Wasn't that revival meeting? Man, I'm telling you something, preacher. Y'all, you know when you get in that point of worship where it is at a peak? And I mean, it's at that peak and it just don't seem like it could do anything else. And you stay there for a little while. We stayed. You can call. I'll give you phone numbers. This evangelistically speaking stuff's killing me and I'm not tonight, I promise you. We stayed up there at that peak for 3.5-4 hours. I've never been anything before it like it. I've never been anything just exactly like it since. There were people running. Brother Whitey Johnson was running the tops of them pews. And it looked like the Red Sea. There were so many people in the church. They were sitting in the choir. They was everywhere. I'm telling you something. He was running the tops of them pews, looking at the ceiling, glorifying God. And it looked like the Red Sea parting down through there. And then there was another man on the other side. Same thing going on. You tell me. And we stayed there for 3.5-4 hours. At one point in time in that service, the whole church for about an hour, it was so holy. It was so powerful. I'm not talking about somebody popping up here every now and then giving a test. I am talking about the power of God. We were so exhausted after that service, you about had to carry us to our cars. It wasn't no show. It wasn't no fake. It was real. How long has it been, ladies, since you've been there at the house? Nobody around. You got down that Bible, or you got to pray, or you popped in some CD on your radio there at the house. And boy, you and Jesus, you and the Lord had a spell together. I'm talking about absolute spell together. Preacher, they weren't me. The touch and the power of God. We have got to have it. We've got more personality. I've got enough books on my computer up there. If I had all those books that were in that computer, I couldn't put them in my house. Of course, that ain't saying much. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. We've got more education. Preacher, you said it. We've got mechanical. I know preachers right now, I'm not going to be rude and call names. They know how to say it. They've been raised in it. They know what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Singers know when to raise their hand. Ain't it funny? Peggy always knows how to kick her shoe off at the same place every time. Get everybody shouting. I'm not just being critical tonight. It's the truth. Y'all smiling. You've shouted with it too. I am too. I'm not being... You preach, you're about that amusement, preacher. Do you know people? I know people that listen to certain preachers and they're mean and rough as a junkyard dog. That's the only reason they listen to them. They don't live what they just... Y'all, and I like straight up preaching, preacher. I do. Y'all, David said, when is it going to get on? When shall I come? Fear of God. Remember when you first got saved? Lord's got us in a different gear tonight. I like it. Remember when you just couldn't hardly stand it? You had to tell everybody about what God did in your life. I remember I was working for the state and preaching. I mean, God had changed my life so drastically. And I remember the most boring job on earth is flagging traffic. That's got to be I have to be rolling. I got to be doing something. I remember standing there one day, stop, slow. How exciting is that? I mean, that's it. But I thought, do something a little different today. I got me a cone, stuck my sign up in it, put it on stop there, got me a pile of cars lined up down through there, went down through their handout gospel tracts, come back, let them go, get me another pile, did that all day long. Do you remember when you was like that? Remember when that prayer closet was so thrilling to you? You'd even skip lunch and get away from everybody else just so you and the Lord could spend time together. Remember that? You remember those times? I didn't know nothing about old-fashioned worship. I didn't know nothing about no rock altars or nothing like that. Do you know they say, and I heard this, I don't know which somebody from up in that area said it. Maybe it was Brother Aiken or somebody like that. They said one point in time in Rosman, North Carolina, where your preacher's from, that you couldn't walk out on your front porch without hearing somebody up in the holler praying somewheres. Do you know that's why they had the touch of God? Brother Percy Ray, the old Millhouse Revival. Do you know why there were sinners out in the field that had not even been to the meeting were getting saved? Because they were getting along with God. Amen. God's real. I don't know who done stepped up and said God can't do it in this generation, but God can. We just got out of a revival meeting. I was telling preacher about day, man, these fellas was getting saved. They were busting their crack pipes on the way to the house that night. They got saved by the grace of God and were busting their crack pipes on the way to the house. Amen. I mean, revival broke out. The young folks, they were had a burn barrel going. They were burning music and immodest apparel. They were getting it right with God. God came, we was in a revival, and I counted up, we burned over $20,000 worth of CDs and stuff. Getting right with God. Them old bulls was getting so right with God. I laugh about it, and it was kind of funny, but we had to pour diesel fuel, so much diesel fuel on that fire to cover the smell of. Them old boys just got saved, and all they know is, hey, I love Jesus now. Brother, they brought marijuana to that burn barrel the next night, and we had to pour so much deep so you couldn't smell the stuff. Brother, I mean, they were just, remember when you was first, it's funny, it happened, it was real. They were so excited. Hey, you remember when you was like that, the preacher would preach against it, you'd say, thank God I am getting it right. Hey, you had a tender heart toward God, and you'd get it right, but now you've learned better. Harden that heart. Man, I remember young folks, so my pastor, Preacher Adcock, got up. He went out to our trucks and got cans, Copenhagen cans, out of our trucks, got music out of our trucks, and brought it in the house of God and preached against it. You say, whoa. I said the same thing. I said, man. But you know what? He loved us. You remember when you first got saved and got right with God? It did not matter. You was going to do it because the only thing that mattered to you was that fellowship. That's all that mattered to you is that fellowship. Some of you, your preacher knows it, that you're not in that fellowship like you used to be. That's why it's boring to you. That's why I'm going to tell you something. That's when serving God becomes boring. Let me give this to you. David said, when shall I come and appear before God? David could have trusted in his position. Hey, I'm leading this crowd. David could have trusted in his people that was around him. David could have trusted in a lot of things. But David said, I need God. Do you realize that the Holy Ghost of God, now, sister, He helps me in everything I do. Do you know God, the Holy Ghost, cuts trees? You didn't know that, did you? Well, He does. There has been days on our job. Brother, I remember specifically here about a year ago, God was so real on our job. Every cut was right. We was cleaning out some horrible trees and doing a horrible job, and it was bad. And I remember every cut, every lifting with a crane. And I walked over to my brother and I said, John, I said, the Holy Ghost of God is here today. My brother started crying. He said, I was fixing to say the same thing. I need Him on my job. I need Him to love her right. I need Him to love that child right that's coming. I need Him to preach right. I need Him to pray right. I need the touch of God all over my life. I have got to have Him. Where is God? Where is God? David said, as a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Remember that. I didn't understand it, preacher, when I first got saved. Then preachers, some of you guys that say, boy, when you get saved, you'll never thirst again. I sit there thinking, I don't understand. I'm so thirsty, I can't stand it. I want more. And I did not know what they were saying. I just didn't know. And then I started figuring out, well, they were talking about that drink of salvation. Never thirsty. I got that. But boy, God put a different thirst in my life since I got saved. I want to do the will of God for my life. I want to work for Him. I want to serve Him. But I want to do it with Him. Let me see your Bible, Beck. We wrote down this statement the other night. Sometimes she writes down stuff and I write down stuff. And we was in a service and Brother Keith Sizemore was a preaching and he said something and we wrote it down about like this. And I want to serve God. There is a big difference in working for God and working with God. There's a big difference. If all you do is work for Him, there's no relationship. We've got guys that work for us, and I hate this boss man attitude. And I don't walk around all. I like getting down there with them. We got some good guys that work for us, and I thank the Lord for it. And I like putting myself with them. I like working together with them. There is a big difference in working for God and working with God. You can work for God working with Him without working with Him. You can work for God without working with Him. Y'all get that? You can work for Him without Him. How many people do you honestly know, preacher, that they're doing something for Him but not with Him? For we are laborers together with God. He said, I'm working with you. Do you know what a blessing that is tonight? Not only did He save us from hell, that's good enough, brother. He saved us out of that lifestyle. But do you know He gave us a chance to serve Him and labor together with Him and then reward us for it? I don't understand that. He is going to reward me one of these days for what I've done for Him. There's a difference between working for Him and working with Him. David said, my soul thirsty for God. I'm thirsty right now. I'm going to drink that water here in a minute tonight, sis. Thank you. I hope if nothing else is happening right now, I'm not no great preacher or nothing like that, but I hope if nothing else is happening right now, some of you are running down memory lane. I remember when we first got saved. I'm just going to give this my heart now. I remember when we first got saved, sis. I can't sing. I let my wife do all that. But I remember some of us boys would meet at our church over there at Victor, and we'd preacher Adcock would leave a window open for us so we could climb through the window. I ripped so many buttons off my jacket. But we would meet there. And there was me and Brother Brad and my brother John would meet there. And I'm telling you, y'all going to laugh at me, but it sounded like a bunch of coon dogs treed up outside if you'd have been outside listening to what was going on in that church. But we'd meet there. And our only tip, we wouldn't practice a singing church. We never did. I think we did one time and that was enough for everybody. But we'd just get that hymnal. And we met there to sing to Him. And you know who would show up? Him. There's been nights some of my greatest memories are in the presence of God. You know that mountain I was telling you about where we used to go party where God dealt with me? We turned that into a prayer ground. Hallelujah. Amen. We was up there one night praying. And God knows my heart, preacher. So I don't even like telling some of this stuff because people look at you like you're crazy. was up there praying one night. I'm going to tell y'all something. Them old timers talk about the fog of God. Boy, we got to praying. I mean, there was a fog settled in there. It was so thick you couldn't see. I mean, it settled in there. But then, sister, it was like somebody turned the lights on. It was a glowing on top of that mountain. I don't care what nobody says. You can believe it or not, I was there. It happened. It was real. Preacher, it was a glowing on that mountain. And I mean, the power and the presence of God was surreal up there, and the touch of God was surreal. I'll never forget that as long as I live. You say, man, you must have been older. That's probably about 19 years old. Young folks, you can have that. It is so there. We was having one of those nights, Brother Rackley, where we met at the church. Me and Brother Brad and John, we come out there just to sing to the Lord. I can't tell you how many nights at God. We got downstairs in that track room of praying one night. Y'all hear them old timers talk about that holy smoke and the fog, it getting foggy in here and all that shouting and all the praising and all the worship. And do you know that this generation can have that? If I didn't believe that, I'd shut my Bible, go to the house tonight, and crawl up in the hole until Jesus came back. We was having one of them nights, preacher. I hope some of you's running down memory lane. Yeah. Them times of praying, sis, just you and God. You and God, nobody else around. Some of you don't even know what in the world that is tonight. It's so dead to you. It's so foreign to you. Preacher, we got down there praying in that track room. It felt like it was one of them nights where it felt like your prayers wasn't getting above the ceiling. Just horrible. Brother Brad, I don't know why he did it. Brother Brad had took and he just, you know young preachers how you are. He took all the scriptures on the blood and wrote them down on a piece of paper. He got up there and I guess young preachers, we like the equipment, man. I like this stuff. And he put the tie mic on and he got up there behind the pulpit and just started, and me and my brother still downstairs, and just started quoting those scriptures, reading them on the blood. And we went upstairs, and I don't know why we got them scripture plaques all over the church. You know how it is there at Victory. And the scripture plaques was all around. We hadn't said a word to each other. Not a word. And we just got to going around that church. And John would be over here. Brother Brad would be there, and I'd be over here. And it sounded like we was just go up to them scripture signs and read them with an effectual, almost like that effectual, fervent prayer. What James talks about, just effectually and fervently, just reading those plaques. And then we go to the next one and read it. And we went all the way around that church. And Brother Rackley, I don't care. I know. How many of y'all tonight that you know you're where you're at with God? How many of you know tonight, I don't know how to explain some of this, it's not nothing foreign or mystical or nothing like that. Y'all with me tonight? But you ever go in the prayer closet and you don't necessarily look to get all your requests out, but you look for that touch. You're actually looking for Him. And then have you ever got there in prayer like that and you know He touched you and you know He helped you and you never made one request? But you knew. You never requested it, but it was in your heart. And you watch God answer it. You never said a word about it. But He still touched it. He knows your heart. We was walking around there, preacher, and I hit about two of them plaques on the wall. I come past that door right there. And it was like stepping. Whew. Brother, it was like just stepping into the presence of God. We make the statement, boy, the wind sure blew tonight. You remember at youth camp, some of y'all were there. You remember at youth camp, I think maybe it was 2 years ago, when the waves of God hit those services that night. God, the Holy Ghost, is just, and a crowd would come down and we'd deal with them and they'd get saved and get it cleared up and then here come God again. Y'all been in a service like that? Oh, when I stepped in front of that door, I can't explain it. I don't understand it, preacher, but it happened. Boy, the presence of God was so real. I stopped there. I couldn't move. And my brother come over there and he stopped right behind me. And he got in that presence of God. And Brother Brad had that tie mic on. And when Brother Brad stepped in, the wind was blowing, preacher. When Brother Brad stepped down there, all you could hear, just like that. I don't care who believes that or not, it happened. And the only words I could get out of my mouth, and I looked at Brother Brad and I said, is this place on fire? That's all I could say. Oh, God had moved in that place so thick. What them old timers talked about. Something I never thought I'd get to be in. And it's not about signs and visions. Preacher, you ever heard Brother Rudy tell about that night, him and Brother Raymond Geist, and all of them was up on that mountain? And Brother Rudy tell you it was a cherubim from God. Do you remember? Now, I'm not talking about seeking after sight. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. You've been around that man long enough. But do you remember when you used to go to the prayer closet anticipating what God might do? Remember when you come to church anticipating what God might do? It's real. Brother Percy Ray, I was reading that. You ever read that life book on him? It's unreal what God did for him because he's a man of prayer. He was in a revival meeting one night and it was locked down. It was tight. And they said there's 100 witnesses to this. You say, preacher, why do you look at these things? Why do you read them? Why do you think about them? David said, when I remember these things. You know we still serve the same God that parted that Red Sea. We serve the same God that got down there in that burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same God. Same God. That meeting was locked down. They said, Brother Percy got to praying and agonizing with God so strongly that it scared people and they started leaving. See, he was agonizing with God that hard. They said after about 2 hours of that, Brother Percy got out in that field and said the stars started shooting out of heaven. Said, Brother Percy got to rejoicing in the God of heaven. Dancing around out there. I don't believe it was just like David, just dancing around out there in the presence of God. Said that revival broke. Said there was, I don't know how many people got saved in that meeting. That meeting we was just in, we wasn't there, didn't get to be there the whole time, but God let us be involved 13 weeks. Y'all heard what was going on down there, Brother Rudy's, what God's doing. God's still in the business. God ain't went nowhere. You have. Let me give you this real quickly. I want to give you this. David was not lying when he said, my soul thirsteth for God. David was not lying. When you study the makeup of man, we are body, soul, and spirit. And the soul of man deals with the memory, it deals with the imagination, it deals with our reason, it deals with our affections, and it deals with our conscience. And when you study this chapter, you find out David was not lying when he said, my soul thirsted for God. You find David's memory involved in this. David said, when I remember these things, some of you remember. David's, not only David's memory was excited and thirsty for God, but David's imagination was even involved. David said, I'm so thirsty for God. He said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David began to imagine his thirst for God, what it was like. And then not only that, but his reasoning. David said, why art thou cast that? His reason, why are you in the shape you're in? Why are you? Why haven't you been in the presence of God? How long has it been? When is it going to get on again in your life? Not only his reasoning, but his affection was wrapped up in it. David said, my tears have been my meat day and night. You know what some of your problem is tonight? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to keep going. And you might notice right now, it don't bother you as bad as it used to. You know why? Because you're starting to get a little bit numb to it. One of these days, you're going to be a classic case of Saul, and God's just going to say, God's going to keep trying, God's going to keep trying, God's going to keep trying, and God's going to keep trying. And one of these days, God's going to finally say, do what you want to. I'll go to my grave believing Saul was saved, preacher. Had the anointing of God on his life. Samuel said, tomorrow thou shalt be with me. He was anointed out of the same oil jug or the what I, my cruse of oil. He was anointed out of the same one that David was. He had the opportunity to serve God, had the opportunity, but blew it.